Welcome to the Townships at 12. I'm your host, Maureen Dillon Teasdale, and I will be with you for the next hour. In the first half hour today, I will be talking with Lewis Smith. Lewis is the manager of National Projects for Canada Safety Council, and today we will be talking about National Safe Driving Week, which is from December 1st to the 7th this year. But first, we will hear the song called Please Come Home for Christmas by Kinjo and Young. Stay tuned, we'll hear the song and we'll hear the interview right after. You're listening to The Cube, 88.9 FM.
Baby's gone, I have no friends to wish me greetings once again. Choirs will be singing silent night, oh, Christmas carols by candlelight. Please come home for Christmas. Not for Christmas, by New Year's night. Friends and relations send salutations, sure as the stars shine above. Oh, this is Christmas, Christmas, my.
Teasdale for The Cube, and today I'm very pleased to welcome Lewis Smith. Lewis is the manager of National Projects for Canada Safety Council to the Townships at 12. So welcome, Lewis.
Hi, Maureen. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. Now, National Safe Driving Week, very important. That is on December 1st and it lasts to the 7th. This year, I guess there's a growing concern about people driving under the influence of cannabis. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's been this misconception for a while now that cannabis impairs less than alcohol, and that's just not true. So we wanted to spend the time during National Safe Driving Week to really hammer home the point that cannabis is very much an active influence on how a person is able to drive. It impairs their cognitive functions severely, and essentially the goal of the campaign this year is just to state point blank that impairment has no place behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Okay, people have a misconception that cannabis is less dangerous driving than with alcohol. Is that correct?
That's right, yeah. There's a habit, I suppose, in where someone is drinking and someone has had a few drinks, they have a sense of how impaired they are. Effects of intoxication are more recognizable, and a person can more accurately, not in 100% of cases, of course, but generally speaking, determine whether it's fit to drive or not. Okay. Where someone is under the influence of cannabis, those effects aren't quite as recognizable, so the user might feel relaxed, maybe even a little more focused than they normally would be, which leads to a false sense of security that they are okay to drive, when in reality they may not.
Mm-hmm. So it's a bit different then with alcohol. A report from the Public Safety Canada in 2023, would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll preface this by saying that statistics relating to cannabis use behind the wheel specifically are difficult to come by, because a lot of police forces categorize drug use or impairment as a category of its own without necessarily breaking down into which drug use or which type of impairment specifically. That being said, the report we're talking about from Public Safety Canada in 2023 found that about a quarter of cannabis users nationwide admitted to driving within 2 hours of consumption. That time frame to the effect wear down is obviously going the metabolism has to be taken into effect along with the amount that they have in their bloodstream that is mitigating the effect. But it's generally accepted that 2 hours is not enough time to let the effect properly wear. So within that group that was surveyed, we're seeing nearly a quarter, 23.3% of users admitting to having driven within that time frame. Very clearly an indicator of a problem.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any idea about how many hours someone should wait after they've consumed cannabis?
As I mentioned, it's very much a moving target, depending on all kinds of different factors, ranging from a person's height to their tolerance level. The general rule is leave yourself more than enough time. We recommend a minimum of 4 hours. In many cases, we recommend not even pushing it. If you can, try to find a place to stay the night, a friend's place, get them to call you a taxi so you can come by and pick up your car in the morning. Just don't put yourself in a position where you're asking yourself, am I okay to drive? Always err on the side of caution.
Mm-hmm, because probably if you're asking yourself that question, it definitely isn't okay.
It's definitely one of those questions that is answerable by a no far more often than a yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that there's more consumption of cannabis getting up to the holiday season?
Yeah, the holiday season is usually a pretty major time of year where we see drivers under the influence, whether that's alcohol or cannabis or other various drugs. And that's simply to do with, you know, a whole bunch of factors, including more free time, the propensity to celebrate, in some cases mitigating stress, because of course, as we know, the holidays can also be a stressful time. So all of these factors mix together to create a potential dangerous situation. And then when we combine that factor, the higher amount of intoxication and impairment behind the wheel, with the seasonal weather changes that we see over the holidays, that
Mm-hmm, definitely. Do you think it's increasing since the legalization quite a bit?
You know, it's hard to put numbers to it. As I mentioned, the hard data received from police forces is typically related to impairment, as opposed to impairment from cannabis, impairment from alcohol, and so on. So I wouldn't hazard a guess, except to say that since legalization in 2017, it would stand to reason that there is more cannabis being actively consumed out there.
And I see here the Traffic Injury Research Foundation further notes that between 2018 and 2020, approximately half of the 4,976 injured drivers receiving care in 15 trauma centers had at least one impairing substance in their system, and cannabis was at the fore.
Yeah, that's right. So that's a statistic that we feel is pretty jarring. To put it in a more easily digestible form, about 5,000 drivers who were severely injured between 20, about 5,000 drivers, approximately half of them had a drug or alcohol in their system. And of those drivers, 20% 10% of them tested positive for THC, which is the psychoactive compound found in cannabis. So that's really a disproportionate number of serious injuries where this was at least a complicating factor involved.
One of the main dangers of driving after consuming cannabis is the reduction in reaction time. So that's pretty important when you're on the road.
Yeah, no kidding. It's one of the major tools in any driver's toolkit. And, you know, driving is a task that involves, one, full attention at all times, but two, it involves being able to predict other drivers' behavior to prevent a collision before it happens rather than having to react to it after the fact. So when we're talking about something that impairs cognitive function and impairs reaction time, like cannabis, that becomes a major problem. A lot of driving requires split-second decisions. You know, something as simple as avoiding a collision or turning on the windshield wipers when a sudden downpour of rain or snow comes along. Those kinds of decisions can become real problems if they're not made within the few split seconds that we have. And of course, within the safety sphere, it's pretty well accepted that at speed, our window to make a decision is already fairly limited. So tossing in a complicating factor that minimizes our ability to make a decision quickly, and then piling on top of that the motor skill impairment, where a person's brain may be firing and may tell them to do the right thing, but their body doesn't respond correspondingly. All those things can make what would otherwise be an avoidable situation, something that is avoided and consequently leads to injury or worse, fatality.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And even a small amount, so people can say, well, I only took a small amount, but that is enough to impair your reaction time and your attention, your memory, different things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, when we start talking about the dosage, we do need to bring up tolerance. Cannabis will have a higher tolerance for it, and so the smaller doses may not seem to impact them quite as much. However, it's pretty well established that cannabis can impair all kinds of crucial factors in our body, you know, our memory, our attention, the ability to multitask, our reaction time, decision-making, coordination, perception. I can go on. All of these factors are very important ones when it comes to driving. You need that full clear head and that clear vision, that clear understanding of what's out in front of us. And when we've been smoking cannabis or consuming it in any way, shape, or form, of course, that doesn't enter into the equation. And so what should be a relatively simple, relatively routine drive suddenly becomes fraught with a lot more danger.
Mm-hmm, definitely. What about the legal consequences? What can we mention about that?
Well, legal consequences can be very hefty. You know, we're talking about any kind of legal consequences from a $1,000 fine and a driving ban for up to a year for a first-time offender. For repeat offenders, the penalties scale up and can get as high as possible jail time, longer driving bans, say nothing, of course, of the cost for insurance premiums if such a charge exists on our record. Well, the penalties are severe, and they're certainly not ones that are worth the temporary convenience of maybe not having to leave a car behind overnight. The alternative is, you know, if we're lucky, we get away with the legal consequences. If we're not lucky, we also have other lives that we've impacted in a negative way, making an absolute non-starter of a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Come back to it when we're sure we're quit.
Exactly. And I should note that the auto insurance may not pay some of the benefits too. So that's something people have to be aware of too.
Absolutely. You know, we're very fortunate to be partnering with the Insurance Brokers Association of Canada again this year. They've been tremendous partners for this type of messaging, and especially when it comes to the insurance aspect of it. You know, they're always on the lookout to make sure that folks are getting a reasonable deal from their insurers. Where a cannabis charge comes into play, it's able to be done there. That's the consequences of that.
Okay. And, you know, we might be on the road. We're certainly not under the influence of cannabis or alcohol, but it's something that we have to be aware of with the other drivers, and especially now that it's becoming more prevalent, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so for that, a tip to all drivers and all road users at large, really, is just take the time to make sure that you're aware of your surroundings. Preventative driving is the best way to avoid a collision. And that can include things like leaving yourself more space, to be able to react to unexpected behavior, and keep an eye out for any drivers who are driving erratically. Make sure that you're giving them the proper space that they need so that they won't accidentally encroach into your space.
Mm-hmm. Good advice. Anything else you'd like to add before we go, Lewis?
Yeah, any listeners who are interested in finding out more can visit our website at canadasafetycouncil.org. We have all kinds of information related to safe driving, dating back to our archives for National Safe Driving Week, going back, I believe, more than a decade.
Okay, well, thanks very much, Lewis Smith, the Manager for National Projects, Canada Safety Council, and it's National Safe Driving Week, December 1st to the 7th, and definitely, you know, always be on the lookout when you're on the road and have all your faculties. Thanks again, Lewis, and have a great day.
My pleasure, Maureen, and thanks to you, too.
Just heard from Gabby Barrett, and the song is called Last Christmas here on the Townships at 12. And next up, we have some community event announcements for you here on the Townships at 12. Champlain College presents a holiday spaghetti supper, December 6, 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the Amity Beaudoin Community Center in Lennoxville, located at 10 Samuel Gratham Street. The meal includes spaghetti, a Christmas dessert,
St. Nicholas holiday music, and a fun quiz on Germany. This is to support the German Exchange Student Program. Adults, $25, students, $20, and children, 12 years old and under, $15. You can contact them, german-exchange@crcmail.net.
For those people who did not get a copy of The Lantern this month, feel free to go down to the Borough of Lennoxville's office and get your copy of The Lantern. They have a lot left. Mental Health Estuary, MHE, invites you to an upcoming free virtual workshop presented in English. Join them for Understanding Eco-Anxiety and Strategies to Navigate Change on Zoom on Wednesday, December 4th, 2024, from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. The guest speaker is Leonard Leclerc, BA, psychosocial intervener at EcoMotion. He will explain the concept of eco-anxiety, also known as climate anxiety. Additionally, he will prepare participants to develop an action plan which covers ways to contribute, ways to navigate feelings of despair, and ways to connect. This workshop is open to everyone. For more information or to register, 819-565-2388. Holiday Book Fest and book launch on Sunday, December 8th from noon to 4:30 p.m. at the Lennoxville United Church, located at 6 Church Street, Upstairs Hall in Lennoxville. Hosted by the Township Sun, the event will feature an array of Township's authors and their books. Refreshments will be served, a great opportunity to do some Christmas shopping. Sherbrooke Elementary School presents The Nutcracker, a youth musical, on December 17th. Showtimes 10:30, 11:15, 12:30, 1:10, 1:25, and 2:05 in the Sherbrooke Elementary School gym during school hours, showcasing the Sherbrooke Elementary School Choir, Dance Club, and Drama Club. Free admission, but monetary donations are welcome. The Secret Santa campaign is on. The Secret Santa campaign pairs kids of all ages with community sponsors so no one goes without this holiday season. Option 1. You are paired with one or multiple children and shop for items on their wish list. Option 2. Donate. If you don't have time or don't like to shop, write them a check and they will do the shopping. This is sponsored by the Lennoxville and District Women's Center. You can contact them at 819-564-6626 or email info@ldwc.ca. To donate, send checks to Lennoxville and District Women's Center, 175 Queen Street, Suite 203 in Sherbrooke. Charitable tax receipts are available for monetary donations. The campaign runs from November 11th to December 10th.
Hugs is back. From November to March, Mental Health Estuary is accepting Hugs, H-U-G-S, hats, underwear, gloves, socks, and scarves, and other warm items of clothing. These are then donated to local resources offering services to those experiencing homelessness. Monetary donations are also accepted through the website and by check. Please make checks payable to Mental Health Estuary and indicate HUGS Hugs on the memo line. Items can be dropped off directly at their office in the beige bins next to door number 2 at 3355 College Street in Sherbrooke. Alternately, an in-person appointment can be scheduled to drop off items or a check. For more information, 819-565-3777 or projects@mentalhealthestuary.com. Colby Curtis Museum Holiday High Tea happens on Saturday, December 7th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. It's $35. On the menu, the traditional cucumber sandwiches, scones with Devonshire-style cream and jam, accompanied by other seasonal savory and sweet treats. You will also be served the Colby Curtis blend of tea and have an option of specialty drink. To book a table, www.colbycurtis.ca. And if you belong to a nonprofit organization, you have an event coming up, we would love to get the word out for free. Just please give me an email describing the event, cjmqnews@gmail.com or cjmqnews@yahoo.ca. I'd like to thank my guest in the first half hour today, Lewis Smith from the Canada Safety Council. We will close the first half hour today with Ren for short, and the song is called On My Way.
We will hear the news with Derek Bullard and a word from a couple of our sponsors, and we will be right back with part two of the Townships at 12 for today. You're listening to theCUBE 88.9 FM.
I'm saying goodbye to pointless endeavors. Time after time, get lost on the pressure. I know in my mind, tomorrow will be better. I hope that I'm right. I'm on my way, can hardly escape. I'm on my way. Better have people that love me forever.